Chapter 108. The four travelers sat by the pool, having drinks in the afternoon sun of Italy that was blazing hot. Ron and Steve sat under an umbrella. Both Celeste and Connie were fully greased, with the exception of Celeste's newly bandaged big toe. The conversation was easy. Ron and Steve were doing their ever-present Abercrombie search, and Celeste and Connie were talking about the dessert that Connie had never heard of either. A muscular man with dyed blonde hair remembered Connie and Steve from the castle trip. He was stretched out on a lounge chair with his companion. The man said to Steve, "Hell of a long, bumpy ride to see a bunch of old rocks." Steve nodded in his affable way. He and Connie enjoyed the trip, but he wasn't going to contradict. The man was talking and alternately caressing the bottom of the woman lying next to him and pointing at her nicely rounded cheeks for the other two men. Ron noticed that the man and woman had matching tattoos. He had been thinking of getting a tat since he had started diving. His father's admonition still rung in his ears. "Don't do it unless you are sure. I got this thing at 21, and I'm still stuck with it." He had been thinking about a seahorse on his calf. At first he wanted a dolphin, but then he found out that dolphins were a favorite tattoo of gay men and used as a signal to other gay men. The dolphin got dumped, and Ron was now unsure about the seahorse. But this man and his wife had matching tattoos. Ron wondered about that. It was a small spray of flowers wrapped in a ribbon and fastened with a small heart. It was on the man's forearm and the woman's thigh. Ron didn't like the tat itself, but the idea intrigued him. "Did you and your wife get those at the same time?" said Ron, pointing to the man's tat. He gave the woman a soft pat on her bottom and said, "Oh, she isn't my wife. She's my secretary." Connie looked over at Ron and said quickly, "Don't even think about it." Celeste and Connie looked at Ron accusingly. The secretary ignored them. "I wasn't thinking anything," protested Ron. The four of them laughed. The man told his secretary that it was time for them to go back to their cabin. She stood up and began to gather both of their things. They watched the group slowly walk away. "What do you think?" said Ron. "Half an eye, Abercrombie?" "Maybe," said Steve. "Do any of the other secretaries tease you about Ron?" said Connie. Ron interrupted. "You made a promise. No work talk." "This isn't work talk," said Celeste, dismissing him. "Work talk is when Steve and I have no idea what the two of you are talking about. I think we all know what this is about." Connie looked at Steve and smiled. "They did it first. Audie Riffle's secretary warned me to watch out for you," said Connie, staring at Ron, who really did not want to have this conversation. "She said that you had roving eyes."
"I don't have roving eyes.
And besides," Ron turned to Steve for help, "there's nothing wrong looking, right?"
"Nothing at all wrong with looking," agreed Steve.
Connie gestured to where the boss and his secretary had been sitting.
"Do you think they were just looking?" she said.
"I think looking was well in their rearview mirror," said Celeste, accenting the words "rearview" and staring at Ron and Steve. A few of the girls were really surprised that we decided to go away together. They asked why we didn't want to get away from each other for a while. We could always go with matching tattoos, said Ron. Then we'd always be close.
Not on your life, said Connie. I would never let a man handle me like that in public.
Celeste nodded. They were joined in their disapproval of the woman. They were wives. They believed that there was some poor woman at home thinking that her husband was on a business trip, and here he was showing off his secretary's assets. The two women stared in tacit disapproval at the men. They had done nothing, but they were both men, and men were capable of anything.